Opening your Bibles with me, please, to the book of 1 Samuel and to the first chapter of the book. 1 Samuel chapter 1 this morning. I have preached numerous messages over the years on Samuel, and I've been struck recently by one little element within the story of Samuel and his birth and his commitment to the Lord, and that is that phrase where he was lent unto the Lord. And so the title of our message this morning is Lending to the Lord. I'm going to begin our reading in the ninth verse of 1 Samuel chapter 1, and then we're going to skip down through the chapter and then read briefly from chapter 2 as well. So if you have your place now, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I'll begin our scripture reading in verse number 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and forget not thine, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And then go down to verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck till she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Now go to chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 18. Chapter 2 and verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman, for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own house. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Let us bow for prayer this morning. Gracious Father, O Lord, we thank you for thy glorious word. Lord, we thank you that this is indeed the very inspired word of God. It has been preserved to us through the original languages. It is to us today a faithful translation of those languages, and it is given to us for our profit, for our edification, for our admonition. Father, we thank you that every time we look into thy word, something else will prick our hearts, something that we have not observed before, not a new revelation, not a private interpretation. But Lord, you will bring to our hearts and our minds just that which we need for that day, for that time. Father, today, may you bless and edify your people through the preaching of thy word. May we be strengthened. May we be encouraged. May that which is about to perish be strengthened in thee. And O Lord, above all, may Jesus Christ, our glorious Redeemer and Savior, be honored and glorified in our midst today. Bless thy truth to our hearts. Bless us to the service of the King of Heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. In Proverbs 19, verse 17, we find these words, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given him, he will repay again." And again in Psalm 112, verse 5, "A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion." We find in our text this morning, multiple times, that Hannah made a loan. She lent her son to the Lord, and she was rewarded for that which she loaned unto the Lord. I would like just to consider this morning. Lending to the Lord. What does that imply? What are the implications? What are the ramifications? What is involved in lending to the Lord? And the first thing I would submit to you is that when someone makes a loan, that loan is a declaration of faith in the one to whom you loan. I think probably most of us have borrowed money for a house or borrowed money for a car or even borrowed money for a toaster. We buy things on credit. But before you can buy on credit, the bank wants to know who you are. The bank wants to know what your resources are. The bank wants to be ensured that you can pay back that which was loaned. Are you good for the money? Folks, we don't need to do a credit check on the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when Hannah comes to the Lord and she says, "This is the loan which I have lent," she is demonstrating faith in the one to whom she loans. I know that Jehovah, my God, is able to fulfill. Look at the text there in verse 11 of chapter 1. It says, "She vowed a vow unto the Lord, if thou wilt indeed look upon the afflictions of thy handmaid." Hannah was childless. She was barren. The most important responsibility of the wife in that day and time was not laundry. It was the production of seed. Mm-hmm. The most important responsibility of the wife was to bear children. And for a woman that was barren, it was the greatest grief and greatest reproach. And she says, "Remember my affliction, O Lord. God, I've got a terrible problem that I cannot take care of myself. But Lord, if you will grant me a child, I in faith, believing in God, will lend this child to thee all the days of his life." There's the terms of the loan. How long is this loan for? It's all the days of his life. And in verse 15, when Eli comes, she says, "I have poured out my soul before Jehovah. I've poured out my soul before the Lord." And again in verse 17, and Eli answered and said, "Go in peace. The Lord God of Israel grant thee that petition which thou hast asked." And I'll say more about it. That word "ask" is the same Hebrew word "borrowed." That petition which you've borrowed of the Lord, which you've asked of the Lord. And in verse 18, and she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So we find here that Hannah, after Elkanah says, "God's going to grant your request," boy, her face is different. She's changed. She's no more sad. Here is a demonstration. She has faith in the one she's loaned to. And folks, we can have confidence that in anything we commit to the Lord, He's not going to default. He's worthy of credit. Hannah demonstrates faith in the one to whom the loan is made. No loan is made without that confidence that the one who receives the loan is worthy and able to repay. And folks, Hannah's not alone here. Hannah has not conceived. And she rises, washes her face, and she eats. Abraham demonstrated the same faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In Romans 4, verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. God had promised Abraham that of Isaac his seed would come. And so Abraham on the mountain, when he pulls back the knife to take his son's life, it is a demonstration. He believes in the one. He believes that God is able. Hebrews 11:19, accounting that God was able to raise him even from the dead, from whence he received him also in a figure. Folks, we can have confidence in the Lord. We can have the same kind of confidence that Hannah showed and that Abraham showed. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Folks, you may make all kinds of investments in this world, and none of them are secure. But folks, investing in Jehovah is a sure investment. When Hannah loaned her son to the Lord, it was a demonstration of absolute faith that he was able to perform everything. 1 Samuel 15, verse 9, and also the strength of Israel shall not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Ezekiel 24, verse 14, I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass. I will do it. But secondly, a loan is a covenant relationship between the lender and the one who receives the loan. It's a covenantal relationship. In fact, there are a few different words in the Old Testament that are translated loan, lent. I already mentioned that the word borrow is also the word ask, and the word ask is also the word loan. They all are intertwined. But I would have you turn with me to Genesis 29 and verse 34. A loan is a covenantal relationship with the one to whom we lend. Genesis 29, verse 34. Genesis 29 gives us the sad account of Leah. Leah was the wife of Jacob, but he loved Rebekah. Leah was the elder sister, but she knew that her husband loved the younger sister. And in Genesis 29, verse 34, Leah has now borne her third son. Look at the text with me. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name shall be called Levi. The term Levi, the name Levi, means joined. But that word there, my husband shall be joined to me, is the word leva. And you know how else it's translated? To lend. It's the word lend. And so what Leah is saying here is, now because I've had a third child, I've given my husband a third son, my husband will be in covenant love with me. My husband will be joined to me in covenant. I now will have the relationship with my husband that my sister has. A covenantal relationship of love will be established. I will be joined. I will be lent unto my husband. Folks, when we lend to God, we make a covenantal relationship. And there in Psalm 37, verse 26, He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. The lendeth in Psalm 37, 26 is the same word as joined in Genesis 29, 34. He that lendeth to the poor, or he is ever merciful and lendeth, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with direction. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to the Lord. He is ever merciful and lendeth in his seed. Every one of those is the same word, joined. He that hath pity with the poor on the poor enters into covenantal relationship with Jehovah. He that is merciful enters into covenantal relationship with Jehovah. And when Hannah lent her son to the Lord, she entered into a covenant with Jehovah that would never be broken. And so, to lend is to be joined to the Lord. But folks, there's more. Because in Isaiah 14, verse 1, God made covenant with Israel. Turn with me to Isaiah 14, verse 1. Isaiah 14, verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob, and he will choose Israel and set them in their own land, and strangers shall be joined with them. Folks, and it's the same word, lend. Strangers will be brought into this covenantal relationship with Jehovah. Strangers will be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And so, folks, we are lent unto the Lord with Jacob. We are brought in to this same covenantal relationship. But then look again at 1 Samuel chapter 1. To lend is to make a covenant with God. Let's start reading at verse 21 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. And Elkanah's vow. Now think about the context here. We know in the Old Testament that if a virgin daughter made a vow and the father heard her vow and he disagreed, the father could overrule that vow. But if the father allowed the vow to stand, it would stand. And the same was true with a wife. If a wife vowed unto the Lord and the husband disagreed with the vow, he could disannul it. But if the husband was in agreement with the vow, he became a vower, a covenanter with her. And it appears here that Elkanah, knowing the vow that his wife Hannah has made, he is in agreement with the vow, and so he is going up to the yearly sacrifice and Elkanah's vow, even though it is Hannah's vow. And we find that Hannah did not go up because she wanted to wean the child. And look at verse 23. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, "Do what seemeth good unto thee. Tarry thou until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. My wife, you have vowed to the Lord, and I am entered into this covenant with the Lord. We dare not break it. We must keep this vow." And so, from our responsive reading, we read there in Psalm 66, verse 13 and 14, "I will go into the house of the Lord into thy house with burnt offerings, I will pay thee my vows. And so first of all, we find that lending to the Lord is an indication that we have faith in the one to whom we lend. We believe in them, they're able. And secondly, to vow, to loan, is to make a covenant relationship with God. But the third thing I'd have us to see from this passage is that a loan carries with it the expectation of return. When we make investments, when we make an investment, we expect that there will be a return. When we loan with the expectation there will be profit from the loan. And we find here that Hannah has what some people would call faith forward. I'm not particularly fond of that term. But here Hannah, in saying, Lord, if you will give me this son, I will lend him back to you as long as he lives, there is faith that that won't be the end of the prophet. It is not just for this one child that she longs, but she believes that God will indeed open her womb. And there will be more. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you look there to the 20th verse of 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 20, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which she hath lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own house. That's after they've dropped off Samuel, folks. Samuel has been brought to Eli. And now Elkanah says, the Lord give thee seed of this woman. Again, Proverbs 19, verse 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord, is joined to the Lord, and that which he hath given, he will pay him again. God will pay it again. God repays our charity. Matthew 10, verse 42, for whosoever shall give a drink to one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Psalm 112, verse 5, a good man showeth favor and lendeth, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. There is an expectation of return on investment. In fact, the wicked servant who buried his Lord's money, the reply to him is, thou oughtest to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and will I not open the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that ye shall not have room to receive it. Now at this point we need to pause and consider some objections. Because probably, hopefully, some of you are already saying, Pastor, but what about? Those glorious what about verses. Well, what about the Old Testament? Doesn't the Old Testament say in Deuteronomy 23, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother? Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto the stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee. What about that? The Old Testament says we can't lend upon usury. So what do you mean, Pastor? We lend to the Lord with an expectation of return. That phrase, lend upon usury, is an entirely different word from the word we find in Psalms, the word we saw there in Isaiah, the word we find here in 1 Samuel. In fact, in Deuteronomy 23, where they're told you can't lend to your brother on usury, but you can lend to the stranger on usury, that word is actually the word bite. It's the same word we find with the fiery serpents, where the fiery serpents bit the people. And so God is telling him, you can't bite the children of Israel, you can bite the stranger. You can put the hurt on him, so to speak. But not to your brother. You don't lend within the family of Israel on usury. And so that passage doesn't really relate to our lending to the Lord, expecting the Lord to repay. But then we also have a New Testament objection. And that would be in Luke 6, 34 and following. If thou lend unto them of whom ye hope to receive, What thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. So, Pastor, but what about in the New Testament where we're not supposed to lend expecting a return? Well, first of all, in the New Testament, it's totally different words again. It is Greek as opposed to Hebrew when it says don't lend expecting again. And the emphasis there in Luke 6 is on our charity. It's on giving to the poor. We don't give to a poor person expecting to return again. We give to those who cannot return, that we might receive blessing. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. And so the New Testament passage is talking about our charity. So that doesn't really relate, because we're not giving God charity. We, in other words, rather are making a covenant with the Lord. And so we find that if we are lending to the Lord, it is a demonstration of our belief, our faith in him. We are making covenant relationship with him, and we are expecting that God has promised that he will repay. But then the fourth thing I would have us to see very clearly is that a loan is an investment for future, not for present. We don't look for a return here. What shall profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What dust, what dirt here is worth anything? Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither must moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And here we find when Hannah brings the child, we don't know how old he is, but the scripture emphasizes that the child was young. Did you pick that up in the reading? And the child was young. It emphasizes that he is just weaned. Most little boys are weaned by 3-ish, give or take. He's very young. But Hannah believed there was better to come. There was more coming. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the riches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of heaven. Moses was looking for a Messiah, for Christ. He was still a long ways off, but he forsook the current pleasures. And so, when we lend to the Lord, we're not expecting treasures on earth. We're not expecting God to make us millionaires. Who wants to be a millionaire? We're not expecting the things of this world, because the things of this world are worthless. They're all passing away. They're all nothing. But oh, folks, when we lend to the Lord, when we enter into covenantal relationship with God, we know that there will be a future return. Mark 9, verse 41. For whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. But finally, I'd have us to see that the Lord never defaults on a loan. The Lord never defaults on a loan. Folks, you can have FDIC, and I have to look at my notes to get it straight, FDIC insurance. But that's just the government's promise, and we know what happens to the government's promises. And I've seen ads, you've got to buy gold, folks. Buy gold. Gold is the only thing that's going to be worth anything. Got to buy gold. You got to buy gold. Because we got to sell gold, so you got to buy gold. You see, if gold were such a good investment and it's the only thing that's going to be worth anything, why are they selling it? Why aren't they hoarding it? And there's one for silver. If silver just returns to 50% of its all-time value, you'll make this money. Hold on a second. If it returns to 50%, I will make this money. That means somebody paid twice that and they've lost their shirt. They've lost big time. Folks, the day will come when a bag of gold is a piece of bread. Mm-hmm. And gold is what the streets of heaven are paved with. It's gravel to Jehovah. Folks, there is no secure investment in this world, but there's a secure investment out of this world. Mm-hmm. God never defaults on his loan. And so, folks, when we lend, when we commit to the Lord, we are demonstrating a faith in his ability to repay. When we lend to the Lord, we are entering into a covenantal relationship with him. We are joined unto the Lord. When we lend to the Lord, we are doing so knowing that he will repay. We are doing so knowing the repayment will be in the future and knowing that he will never default on his loan. And so, if you look again at 1 Samuel 2, verses 20 and 21. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which she hath lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own house. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. God repaid the loan with interest. God repaid the loan. Folks, that's a, what, 500% return? You won't get that anywhere else. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." What application can we make? What is it that we loan to the Lord? Well, first of all, we loan the Lord our faculties. Heart, soul, mind, strength, intellect, hands, eyes, mouth. It's a word we don't use too much, but we talk about somebody who's gone crazy. They've lost their faculties. We loan God our faculties. "Lord, here I am. It's all in your hand. It's all covenanted to you. When I loan you money, I no longer control that money. You do. Lord, here I am. It's all given to you." Secondly, we loan God our facilities. We are meeting here in a house. A good friend of mine built a new house, had brand new carpet, and for the first 10 years, you had to walk on plastic in that house.
Great day.
I'm not kidding you. You had to walk on plastic in that house. He had those plastic runners down the hallways. There was one across the living room. Folks, I don't see any plastic on the floors.
Amen.
And folks, I guarantee you that if you had 30 people in your house once a week, it would wear out your carpets. The cushions in your sofas would go. The fabric would wear. It wears and tears on everything.
So be it.
But folks, we loan the Lord our facilities. Yeah. If the vehicle can be used to haul people to church, to haul people to doctor's appointments, to distribute to the poor, if our brick and mortar that is crumbling anyway can be used, we loan it to the Lord. "Lord, here it is. I didn't buy it anyway. It all came from you. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee." We loan the Lord our faculties. We loan the Lord our facilities. We loan the Lord our finances. "Lord, the money that I have in the savings account for a rainy day, oh Lord, may it pour on thy work." "Lord, that which I have for retirement." Folks, do you really believe Social Security is going to be around in another 20 years? I mean, do you really believe that the financial system, that our IRAs are going to pay like we hope they do? We hope they do, but we know what this world does. An electronic currency could come along and wipe it all out tomorrow. But folks, we loan it to the Lord. "Lord, here it is. Do with it what you want to. Yeah. I know you'll repay, you'll provide. When I sent you out without purse and script, lacked ye anything?" No. "No, Lord, not a thing." But then folks, also, the last application, we loan the Lord our faculties, we loan our facilities, we loan our finances, we loan the Lord our families. And that's what we find here in the passage today. Lord, here's my son. Lord, here's my child. Lord, this family belongs to you.
Yeah, that's right.
Lord, it is yours to use all the days of his life. That's the terms. Lord, use us. Folks, you cannot give God. May we lend it all to the Lord in full faith that he will surely repay.
That's right.
Let us stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for thy truth and thy word. We thank you, O Lord, that thou hast done great things for us wherever we are glad. We thank you, Lord, that it is you who sustain your people. We thank you, Lord, indeed, that all things come from thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Father, we thank you that you are the only one that we can depend upon. Lord, you are the only one who is forever settled in heaven along with thy word. Father, bless us, thy people. Use us for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.